Welcome to My Father's House Podcast, Episode 341, Dove, Doodoo, and Donkey Heads. Senior Pastor Harley Coulterman delivered this message on Sunday, October 22nd, 2023, in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
All right, praise the Lord, everybody. Again, thank you for giving, thank you for sowing, thank you for serving God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, because that's what God has called on us to do in a joyful way. You know, sometimes we just get under stuff, and we know stuff is going on with the economy. We know stuff is going on with our world around us, and sometimes it makes your head spin. But that's when it's time to get in the Word of God. It's when it's time to encourage one another in the Lord. It's when it's time to encourage yourself in the Lord. And when you begin to do that, God will bring you out of the kind of the, what do they say, funk, and get up over on top of it instead of letting it be on top of you. So I was reading some headlines this week that speak to this issue. This one is entitled, Wage Price Spiral is Gripping the Nation. It's by a guy named Dr. Michael Bussler. And it's talking about the results of wages and prices and those kinds of things. It says, by pausing interest rate hikes, the Federal Reserve, that's the federal government control over banking and so forth, has allowed inflation to linger. I guess you know about inflation. You probably noticed it in the price of eggs, or if you filled up your car recently with gas. You know, you've noticed the effects of inflation causing the prices to go up. It says this has led to workers seeking wage increases higher than the inflation rate. So if you want to know what strikes are about and what wage negotiations are about, it's basically workers trying to catch up and get their wages above the rise in the increase in cost due to inflation. Inflation, essentially, it means that the government is spending more money than it's taken in. It's borrowing, in other words, to do the stuff that they do. And we can argue about how to take care of that, but that's not the place for this message. The increased labor cost, in other words, if wages are made higher, the increased labor cost will result in firms raising prices even more. That's a nasty wage price spiral that is now gripping the nation. So if you think about that, it's kind of like a circular argument. There's no end to it. If you increase the wages, then the prices will go up. If you increase the prices, then the wages need to go up. But if the wages go up, then you need to increase the prices some more. Because believe it or not, companies are not going to operate at a loss. They're just going to pass on their costs to people, right? So it's a vicious, vicious cycle. So what's the answer? The answer is really come to Jesus. It's a come to Jesus moment, because whether you like it or not, you can't escape the problems that are happening in the economy. We can't escape the issues that are happening in our culture. We can't escape what's happening around the world. We can't escape the fact that somebody wants to go to war with somebody else, or somebody wants to terrorize a nation, or somebody wants to destroy something somewhere, whether it's here or abroad. We have, quote unquote, no control over that. But we do have God, and we do have prayer. And the Word of God says that prayer changes things. God says, ask and it will be given unto you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door shall be opened to you. But here's the issue. The issue is a lot of people don't live for God. A lot of people don't even know that prayer changes things. A lot of people have been told that prayer changes things, but they don't believe that prayer changes things. And they don't live like prayer changes things. So you have to decide where to start. Well, the place to start is not somebody else. The place to start is with me, with you, with us. Amen? Because if we know the truth, the Bible says the truth that we know will set us free. That doesn't mean the truth that you know in your head. That means the truth that you have in your heart, that you have operational within you, will bring freedom in your life. So rather than being discouraged by all the bad news and by all of the pressure and by all of the things that are happening, we should be encouraged because of all the people on the face of the earth, we have a God of heaven's armies that's our helper who's on our side. And the Word of God says, if God is for us, who can be against us? So we're on the winning side. We're on the victory side. And even though we may be going through some really serious trials, like the people in the nation of Israel right now, God is our victory. And the Word of God inside of us begins to make changes in our own lives and in the lives of people around us, and also has an effect on the culture, has an effect on all of those things that are happening in the world. Praise the Lord. So probably your wage increase, if you got one, probably didn't keep up with inflation. But that doesn't leave you helpless and hopeless, because you can fight back. As Sister Tanya was encouraging you to sow and to give, one of the ways that we fight back is with our giving, with our sowing, because Jesus, the greatest person who ever lived and who ever will live, said, give, and it'll be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will men pour into your lap. So if he lied about that, he probably lied about some other things, and we couldn't believe him for salvation, for healing, for anything else. But he didn't lie. He told the truth. So where does that leave it? That leaves it, where's our faith? What do we believe? Do we really believe that? If we really believe that, then we can live in a particular way that brings change, that releases the power of God, that releases the blessing of God, that encourages ourselves and encourages others, and brings us to a place of victory instead of defeat. So there are some stories in the Bible about people who went through hard economic times, and I'm going to refer to one of those today, which hopefully will be an encouragement to you, because their economy was in much worse shape than ours. This is from the book of 2 Kings, chapter 6 and chapter 7. So I don't really know so much about the wages during the siege, the Syrian siege that was against the people in Samaria at that time. But we sure do know from the Word of God that there were hard times, and that it was difficult, and that prices had skyrocketed. Prices had went through the roof. So let me read from 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 24. It says, sometime later, however, King Ben-Hadad of Aram, or this would be, he was a Syrian king, mustered his entire army and besieged Samaria. In other words, he surrounded Samaria, which was the northern portion of Israel. This is like north of Jerusalem. This is in the area, some of the area that's disputed today by those who want to divide the land. So Samaria was surrounded by this army and besieged. In other words, they like totally walled them in and kept them from getting outside until all of the supplies diminished. So it says here in verse 25, as a result, there was a great famine in the city of Samaria. The siege lasted so long that a donkey's head sold for 80 pieces of silver, and a cup of dove's dung sold for 5 pieces of silver. So I'm entitling my message today, Dove Doo-Doo and Donkey Heads. I was reading this and I thought, why in the world, of all the things they could have said increased in prices, why are they talking about a pint of dove dung, doo-doo, and donkey heads. Why? Evidently, it's to emphasize that high demand for limited quantities of commodity can cause rapid price increases. Now, I did read in some commentaries they were trying to explain, you know, what the use for dove doo-doo would be. And they had some perhaps reasonable explanations, some of them pretty gross, but, you know, whether it was used for fuel or whether it was used because dove dung had kernels of grain in it and they were using it for food. So I'm not really sure about that, but for whatever reason, they were using this as an example of the exorbitant prices people were having to pay for things. But it affected other areas of life, which were even more serious, because if you look a few verses beyond that, verse 26 says, "One day, as the king of Israel was walking along the wall of the city, a woman called to him, 'Please help me, my lord, the king.' He answered, 'If the Lord doesn't help you, what can I do?'" So he's kind of like a sarcastic guy, and frustrated ruler, a frustrated governor, a frustrated business person. And he's running this country, and he's under siege, and he can't do anything. He said, "What can I do? I have neither food from the threshing floor nor wine from the press to give you." Verse 28. "But then the king asked, 'What is the matter?' She replied, 'This woman said to me, "Come on, let's eat your son today, and then we'll eat my son tomorrow." So we cooked my son and ate him. Then the next day I said to her, "Kill your son so we can eat him." But she has hidden her son. Verse 30. When the king heard this, he tore his clothes in despair. And as the king walked along the wall, the people could see he was wearing burlap under his robe next to his skin. "May God strike me and even kill me if I don't separate Elisha's head from his shoulders this very day," the king vowed. So it's interesting, his action and his response to all of this. Of course he was in despair. I mean, what a terrible, terrible thing this woman told him. What a tragic, tragic thing. But his solution is not to go to God for help. His solution is to blame God for the problem and go after God's messenger, go after the prophet to take his head. And if you think about that, if you think about the kind of the political landscape of today, what is it like? It's about vengeance and revenge. But that never brings a solution to the problem. Because vengeance is mine, says the Lord, I will repay. So instead of blaming God, we should go to God and turn to God. Things like this should turn people to God for help. Because the history of Israel was a history of them getting in trouble and God coming to help them. It isn't like things like this had never happened before, because they had happened plenty of times before. And guess what happened when people turned back to God? He always responded and came back to them. So this king's response is really totally inappropriate. And yet God has mercy on these people. We serve an amazing God. Just think, if we got what we deserved, think where we would be. As a nation, as a people, even just personally. If we got what we deserved, think where we would be. Because we haven't always perfectly served God and loved him. They were under these straits because they had turned away from God, and the enemies of God came and attacked the city. The Bible clearly says that they didn't live for God. They worshiped idols and they did other things and they went away from God. But all the time they had the word of God, which says, if you will obey me, if you will love me, if you will serve me, I will protect you, I will bless you, I will do all of the things that he promised to do in the Bible for these people. And yet the Bible calls them a stiff-necked people, a hard-hearted people, who had hardened their hearts against God and went after idols and went, they said, a whoring after other gods. And they were essentially reaping what they sowed and getting what they deserved until they called upon God, and then God came to the rescue. So the rest of the story is the king sent somebody to take Elisha's head, but Elisha had a word of knowledge about it and predicted that this is what would happen. And he said, but don't do anything, just hold those guys at the door because the king will be right behind them. And so when that came to pass, it says that in verse 2 Kings chapter 7, the first verse, it says, Elisha replied, listen to this message from the Lord. This is what the Lord says. By the time tomorrow in the markets of Samaria, 6 quarts of choice flour will cost only 1 piece of silver, and 12 quarts of barley grain will cost only 1 piece of silver. Just think about this. This time tomorrow. This is a word from the Lord. So now when you think about the king's action, you could say he hardly deserved the Lord to come and rescue him. And yet the Lord sent a word to him through this prophet who he wanted to kill, saying, tomorrow, everything is going to change. Verse 2 says, the officer assisting the king said to the man of God, that couldn't happen, even if the Lord opened the windows of heaven. But Elisha replied, you will see it happen with your own eyes, but you won't be able to eat any of it. Another word from the Lord. So I was thinking about his comment there. He said, even if God opened the windows of heaven, this will never happen. It is like a total heart of unbelief. Elisha the prophet had a word for the king, a word so great that nobody there deserved it. And yet this officer hardened his heart and said, that couldn't happen even if God opened the windows of heaven. So I was thinking about the term opening the windows of heaven. You know, I ministered last week about tithing in the book of Malachi. It refers to God opening the windows of heaven and pouring out a blessing that you don't have room enough to receive it. So I was thinking about the places where it talked about opening the windows of heaven. And I discovered something interesting. It's not used very often in the Bible. You don't find it in too many places. You find it at the time of Noah when the flood came. It says that the windows of heaven were opened and the whole earth was flooded. It said the fountains of the deep were opened and the windows of heaven were opened and the water came from above and the water came from beneath and the whole earth was flooded and destroyed an evil, wicked generation, except for Noah and his family who were saved out of the flood because they were righteous people. They served God and they believed God and they trusted God. In the face of all of the wickedness, they trusted God. That's the only other place I found it. So I was thinking about this officer's statement. The prophet Malachi said that when you give to God what is God's, the windows of heaven will be open over you. But this officer said, even if God opened the windows of heaven, this couldn't happen. So it's important when you hear the word of God, what you believe about the word of God, and what you say about the word of God. So then the man of God said to him, "You will see it, but you won't eat of it." In one night, everything changed from expensive dove doo-doo and donkey heads to inexpensive flour and grain. So it said that the dove doo-doo, I think, was 5 pieces of silver. But now it says, so that's like about a pint, was costing 5 pieces. Now he said 8 quarts or 60 quarts, 8 quarts of 8 quarts of grain, barley grain, would be like, I don't know, 7 or 8 pieces of silver. So for the price of 1 pint of dove doo-doo, you could buy 60 quarts of grain, essentially. What a change in economy. That would be like the gas price going from $3 to 25 cents again. Isn't it amazing what God can do in just one night? So the officer assisting the king had sent to the man of God. That couldn't happen, even if the Lord opened the windows of heaven. The man died because he doubted God of miracles could or would do anything about their situation in famine. He died refusing to believe the words of the prophet whom he scorned. I mean, he was making fun of the prophet. Is it even if he opened the windows of heaven? But in his unbelief, he died. In his hardness of heart, it put him in a position where he was killed. A wiser king, much later, said in 2 Chronicles 20:20, "Believe the Lord your God, and you will be established. Believe his prophets, and you will succeed." There are still true prophets of God in the land. You do have to be discerning. You do have to check what they say against the word of God. But there are prophets who are serving God, who are trustworthy. And the word of God is always trustworthy. You can take it to the bank. What God said he would do, he will do. If he said he'd open the windows of heaven over you and pour out a blessing for you, he'll do exactly that.
That's right.
Because he's a God of truth. He's an honest God. A God that has proven himself over the generations and over the millennia to be faithful to his word. The only thing that can cut you out of the picture is unbelief. Unbelief and hardness of heart. So when we read these things from Scripture and bring these things and talk about what could change our economy, what could change our personal economy, we might not be able to instantly change the economy of our nation, but you can change your personal economy because God's made this promise to you. You have the power over the purse, at least your purse. While we don't have the power over our government's purse, unless we vote, and some people say, well, what could my little vote do? It might remove the wicked people from the office. That's what it might do. So we should at least take our responsibility and do what we can do. Amen? And we should pray. The Bible says to pray for the kings, the rulers of authority, so we can live a godly and peaceful life, which means a prosperous kind of life. Amen? So our prayers can make a difference. Our faith can make a difference. And our actions can make a difference. Instead of just burying our head and say, well, whatever will be, you know, I'll just do my best. Your best might be like that officer. The gate opens, you get run over. But that man died doubting that the God of miracles could or would do anything for him and for his people. Even if the Lord opened the windows of heaven, he said. So there's a spiritual side and a natural side. Yesterday we were having a meeting, Engage meeting, and Sister Rivka shared some things from Scripture that really resonated with me concerning the spiritual side and the natural side. There's always a spiritual side and there's always a natural side. So even in things like tithes and offerings, there's a spiritual side and there's a natural side. There's God's promise of what he would do. And then there's the side where you have to engage, where you have to do what he said you should do. Bring the tithes into the storehouse so that there's food in my house, he said. In other words, so that the house of worship can be taken care of. Bring in the tithes to the storehouse. And he said, then I will open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing that you don't have room enough to receive. There's a spiritual side to it, which goes beyond the finances that you would experience. It goes to your well-being, your family, your home, your job, your career, your life. When you're obedient to God and yield your life to God, then the blessing of God is ushered into your life. Sometimes you might not see it immediately. Sometimes you have to persist and fight for the truth to operate in your life because we're surrounded by the enemies of God. We're just surrounded by discouragement. We're just surrounded by things that attack our faith. We're surrounded by things that would tear down the things that God has said are right and good. But we don't have to succumb to those things. We can fight back with the Word of God. We can fight back with faith. We can fight back with our giving. We can fight back with our worship. We can fight back with our prayer life. We can fight back by gathering together to pray for our nation, for our city, for our church family, for our specific personal needs. We can fight back because faith in God changes everything. Jesus said, "This is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith." Praise the Lord. So what is your situation? Are there needs in your life? Spiritual needs, physical needs, financial needs? What's the answer? The answer is to go to the Word of God. The answer is to believe the God of the Word. The answer is to call on the Lord of Heaven's armies and to believe that he's going to come to your aid because he's a faithful God. Amen. He said, "I will never leave you. I will never forsake you." So you can boldly say, "I shall not be afraid of what man shall do, because the Lord is my helper." Yes. Yes. So we have the answer. We have the solution. And we have something to bless the world around us with if we stand in faith and obey God and love God with all of our heart and do what he said to do. Praise the Lord. So in Malachi chapter 3, verse 10, I've read this many times and we've taught on it a lot. But the way the Word of God becomes part of you is to keep reading it, is to keep taking it in, to keep meditating on it, what it means and how it can affect your life. Malachi 3:10 says, "Bring the full tithe into the storehouse." So it's not half the tithe or part of the tithe. "That there may be food in my house." In other words, take care of my house and I'll take care of yours. "And thereby put me to the test," says the Lord. He says, put me to the test. There aren't any other places in the Bible where it says you should test God like that. There's places that says you shouldn't tempt God. But this place says you should put him to the test, says the Lord of hosts, "if I will not open the windows of heaven for you and pour down for you a blessing that there is no more need." He says, just let me reiterate that. "Test me if I will not open for you." Turn to your neighbor and say, he's talking about you. Because until you personalize this, it has no effect on your life. But when you believe that the God of heaven, of heaven's armies, is opening the windows of heaven for you, your faith begins to take a hold of the blessing that's coming from those open heavens that are over you. He said, I will pour down for you a blessing until there's no more need. It seems like that's progressive. So, you know, when it hasn't happened overnight, don't worry about it. God is faithful. Just like he was faithful to do what the prophet said, by tomorrow the prices will go down. He's faithful to all the other words of promise in his word because it's covenant. So just think about it this way. That officer of the king died because he didn't believe in the covenant of God. It's as simple as that. He didn't believe that God was a covenant-keeping God. Because God had made a covenant with his ancestors, with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to take care of them and to bless them abundantly. But he didn't believe it. He didn't believe the prophets of God sent to encourage them. I mean, he could have said when Elisha said that, oh my God, tomorrow's going to be different. Listen to the prophet, people. Tomorrow's going to be different. Amen. But he didn't. He said, even if God opened the windows of heaven, that wouldn't happen. We can be really cynical and we can really harden our heart when we see the things around us and let them affect us inside. That's why we have to band together as the people of God, encourage one another in the Lord, encourage ourselves in the Lord, and begin to be proactive to do something about it. One of the things I love about the congregation in Israel is that when tragedies like these happen, they go to work doubly hard. They're working day and night to get food to people that are hurt, people that don't even believe like they believe. And they're not just helping Jewish people, they're helping Arab people as well that are affected by this conflict, because there are many Arab Christians and there are many other Arabs that are living in Israel. There's something like 8 million, between 8 and 9 million people in Israel, and 2 million of them are Arabs. So, and some of the Arab churches are helping them actually do this. Pastor Salim Salash from Nazareth had posted up yesterday about helping them reach and bless these people with food and other things. The water that they're purchasing in Nazareth through Pastor Salim's contacts there. So CNN will never broadcast that, and NBC, MSNBC, all of those people, they'll never say anything about that. But God is on the move. Amen. And people are doing something about the situation that they're in because they're trusting in the God of heaven's armies. Praise the Lord. So, and that's with when their kids, their young people, are on the front lines. They could just be crying out and worried about the lives of their young soldiers that are on the front line, but they're out there helping people every day, taking loads of food and things into the shelters, and also taking to some of the soldiers that have needs to bless them. Praise the Lord. So, verse 11 says, Malachi chapter 10, verse 11 says, I will rebuke the devourer.
Yes.
Amen. For you.
Yes, Lord.
For who? For you.
Me.
Right?
Yes, you,
so that it will not destroy the fruits of your soil, the vine in the field shall not fail to bear, says the Lord of hosts. Then all the nations will call you blessed.
Yes.
For you will be a delight, a land of delight, says the Lord of hosts. So, just like the prophet said to those people, tomorrow the price is going down, you'll be able to buy for such and such, the Lord is saying to you today, I will rebuke the devourer for you. You're a tither, I'm rebuking the devourer for you. He's saying to you, all the nations will call you blessed. He's saying to you, you will be a land of delight because you're obedient to God. He'll come through for you. It's his promise. It's his covenant with you. It's more than a promise. It's a covenant blessing for you. So if that king's officer had believed in the covenant and trusted the God of the covenant, his whole life would have been different. He would have spared his life. In fact, you know, he never enjoyed the abundance that the rest of the city got that next day. And God didn't have to open the windows of heaven. All he had to do is open the gate of the city. Because he had already done the miracle the night before. The night before, he sent some kind of a sound and all of the Syrians fled and left their camps empty. And some men who were lepers went out and discovered it. They discovered all of the enemy are gone. And so they went from tent to tent and started eating and started gathering stuff and hiding it. And then they finally said to each other, what we're doing here is not right. We can't keep this to ourselves and not tell the people in the city. We have to tell them. And then when they went back, they checked it out and they found it was true. All the Syrians were gone. Overnight, they were gone. The enemies of God were destroyed overnight. They went. They left. When God rebukes the devourer for your sakes, he does a good job of it.
Yeah.
So trust him. Amen. He's doing it. He's doing it today. He's doing it for you. He's doing it now, not someday. Amen? So look for tomorrow being a better day.
Amen.
Look for your financial situation to change. For trusting in God, it will change because he's faithful. He will do what he said to do. Praise the Lord. Talk about a covenant. Wow, that's an amazing one. You know, in the Old Testament, when God was in the Ark of the Covenant, the Ark, the box that had the seraphim over it, and they put that box in the tent, and the presence of God was in that tent, it had an effect everywhere that it went. So when the Ark of the Covenant was in limbo, so to speak, they were trying to move it from Shiloh to Jerusalem, and the man died because they didn't take it the right way. It ended up in the house of Obed-Edom, a man who was living in the area. 2 Samuel chapter 6, verse 10 says, so David was not willing to take the Ark of the Lord into the city of David, but David took it aside to the house of Obed-Edom, the Gittite. And the Ark of the Lord remained in the house of Obed-Edom for 3 months, and the Lord blessed Obed-Edom and all of his household. When the presence of God comes into your house, there's blessing.
Amen.
When you're obedient to God with what he tells you, there's blessing in your house.
Yes, yes.
So our dream for this city is that there be a lighthouse in every neighborhood. Your house should be the lighthouse of your neighborhood. Your house should be the house where the blessing of God is descending. You may have unbelievers living all around you. They may be doing crazy stuff. So one of the neighbors next door that used to live over here was telling about a guy that runs naked in the neighborhood. I didn't know. But your house can be the house of blessing in the neighborhood because God is in your house. His presence is in your house. And when you're worshiping him, you're bringing the God of presence into your house. When you're praying, you're bringing the God of heaven's army into your neighborhood. When you're giving, you're bringing your tithes and your offerings, you're fighting back and saying, God is my God. I won't trust the economy. I won't trust my job. I won't trust my employer. I'm going to trust in the God of heaven and earth, the God of the universe. Praise the Lord. So where the presence of God is, there's always blessing. Just one last comment about that. You know, whenever God has done miracles in the Bible, oftentimes he used natural things for miracles. For example, in 2 Kings, I think it's in 1 or 2 Kings, there was a guy that lost the axe head. He borrowed the axe. He was a prophet, a young prophet in training. He borrowed the axe, and the head of the axe fell off when they were using it to cut the trees and went into the river. And so Elisha said, well, where did it happen? And they showed him, So he picked up a stick and he threw it into the river, and the axe head began to float, and they picked the axe head up. It was a miracle of God. Iron doesn't float. Amen? But it was a miracle of God. But God used the natural thing, the thing that he picked up in his hand, and when he put what was in his hand into the river, the axe head float. There's a lot of messages in that. There's a lot of sermons in that particular scripture, but what I want you to see is that he used what was in his hand. He used what was available. In 2 Kings chapter 4, Elisha is talking to this woman who had lost her husband, and she came to him because she needed a miracle, because they were going to make her sons slaves to pay the debt that he owed. And he asked her in 2 Kings 4, verse 2, he said, "Tell me, what have you in the house?" And she said, "Your servant has nothing except a jar of oil." So you know the story. He said, "Go get some pots." So all she had was a jar of oil. That's all she had to her name. But when she obeyed the prophet of God and began to pour the oil into the pans, into the pots, the oil began to multiply. And the Bible says she paid off the debt, and they lived off of the rest of it for the rest of their life. It was like an inheritance. The father was no longer there to give these boys an inheritance, but the oil of God was the inheritance. There's a lot of spiritual implication for that. You should think about that. What will the oil of the Holy Spirit do for you? When it comes into your life, think about the impact of that. I'm not going to preach on that right now, but it was what she had in her house. It's what she had in her hand. Just one more place. Remember when Moses was talking to God, and he said to him, you know, they're not going to believe me. When God sent him back to the Hebrews in Egypt and said, you know, I'm going to take you out of the land of Egypt. He said, they won't believe me. So what am I going to do? They won't believe that the Lord appeared to you, to me. The Lord said to him, what is that in your hand? And he said, a staff. Then he said, throw it on the ground. So he threw it on the ground and it became a serpent. So that staff for Moses became a miracle working staff. All of the plague, many of the plagues were because of that staff. And then finally, when they came to the Red Sea, he took that staff representing the presence of God and held it over the Red Sea. The Red Sea parted and they went through on dry land. So the question today is, what do you have in your hand? So one of the things that we have in our hand is our wallet, our purse, our credit card, the dollar bills that came from the labor that we worked for. That's something that's in our hand, right? So if we take that which is in our hand and bring the tithe to God and sow the offering, think about the miracle that happens from what you have in your hand. A lot of times what we have in our hand isn't enough to take care of all the needs we have, right? But when we sow it, the God who is the need meter, the one who will meet all of our need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus, goes into action and takes what we have had in our hand and multiplies it back. I don't know how many testimonies I've heard about people who brought the tithe and God multiplied the 90% that was left and made it stretch, gave them good deals, gave them favor, gave them blessings that they didn't know about. Unexpected income came, other things happened, God changed things in their family. Miracle after miracle after miracle have happened after people have just obeyed God. Because they took what was in their hand and they did what God said to do with it. So I want to encourage you today. You know, we're in some tough times and we're in some really crazy times, but we still have something in our hand. And whatever we have in our hand, we can use to bring blessing to others and to bless the kingdom of God and to see the miracles of God happen. And so my prayer for this congregation is that you will see the God of the supernatural bring blessing like you've never seen before in your life. That not only will the windows of heaven be open over you, and not only will he be pouring out blessing that you don't have room enough for, but that the blessing will be so overwhelming that nobody can explain it. Nobody can explain why you went to the doctor and your cancer disappeared. Why you went to the doctor and he said, I don't understand what's happening. Whatever has happened to you couldn't be done by medicine. Or when you went to the bank and you discovered, how did that money get in my bank account? I don't know how it got there. Or when the prices of something that you needed went down so that you could get a miracle price for something. God will do it for you. I'm believing him. I'm trusting him that he's going to take us through this difficult time and bring us out on top so that we can take the kingdom of God to the ends of the earth. Because that's our charge. The Bible says, this gospel shall be preached to all the world and then the end will come. I'm going to close with just these scriptures. Listen to these promises from Deuteronomy 28. This is covenant. This is what the covenant-keeping God said. If you will faithfully obey the voice of the Lord your God, Deuteronomy 28, verse 1, being careful to do his commandments that I command you today, the Lord your God will set you on high above all the nations of the earth. And all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you if you obey the voice of the Lord your God. Blessed shall you be in the city, and blessed shall you be in the field. Blessed shall be the fruit of your womb, and the fruit of your ground, and the fruit of your cattle, the increase of your herds, the young of your flock. Blessed shall be your basket and your kneading bowl. Blessed shall be you be when you come in, and blessed shall you be when you go out. The Lord will cause your enemies who rise up against you to be defeated before you. They will come out against you in one way and will flee before you in seven ways. The Lord will command the blessing on you in your barns and in all that you undertake. And he will bless you in the land that he has sworn to you if you keep the commandments he will bless you in the land that the Lord your God has given you. The Lord will establish you as a holy people to himself, as he has sworn to you, if you keep the commandments of the Lord your God and walk in his ways. And all the peoples of the earth shall see that you are called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of you. And the Lord will make you to abound in prosperity, in the fruit of your womb, in the fruit of your livestock, in the fruit of your ground, within the land the Lord swore to your fathers to give to you. The Lord will open to you his good treasury, the heavens, to give rain to your land in its season and to bless all the work of your hands. You shall lend to many nations, but you shall not borrow. The Lord will make you the head and not the tail. You shall only go up and not down if you obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you today, being careful to do them. And if you do not turn aside from any of the words that I command you today to the right hand or to the left to go after other gods to serve them. There the Lord said that he would open his treasury, the heavens. You see, that officer could have believed this word because he had the first five books of Moses. He could have believed it, but he didn't believe it. Don't be like him. Don't be run over by the world, the devil, the flesh, the other stuff. But if God is for you, who can be against you? No one. In Jesus' name. So, Father, I pray for these that are watching online and those that are listening later by podcast. I ask you that you would take your word and you would transform lives. That you would transform our lives, all of us who have heard this word today, to be faithful to believe you, the God of all comfort, the God of faith, the God who created the heavens and the earth, the God who made us to be the people for this time and for this hour. And I ask you, Lord, that you would use this congregation of people, that you would use us in a mighty way to take the gospel to the ends of the earth. I ask you, Father God, that you will work inside of us everything that needs to be worked out so that we can release our faith totally to you. Father, if there are roadblocks or if there are stumbling blocks or there are other things, Lord, you said a good man stumbles, but he never stays down. He gets up again. So, Lord, where we've stumbled and fallen, we repent and we ask you, Lord, to pick us up. But, Father, going forward, help us to walk in the straight and the narrow way. Thank you, Father God, for saying to us, this is the way, walk in it. We give you glory, honor, and praise for it in Jesus' name. Let your blessing flow over this people now in the mighty name of Jesus in many tangible ways, Father, that they know it's you who has taken them out of these situations and set them in a place where they can be a blessing to others in Jesus' name. And everybody said,
amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you for joining us from different places in the world. We're so glad we could come to you today. We have the technology to do that. We bless you in Jesus' name, and we'll see you again next week. Praise the Lord.
Thanks for listening to this episode of My Father's House podcast. We hope you'll subscribe to hear our latest updates. My Father's House is a non-denominational Christian church located at 5712 Bass Road in Fort Wayne, Indiana. We invite you to visit us by checking schedule information at mfhfw.org. At our website, you can also support the work of My Father's House with your tax-deductible donation. We pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers.